It's the one and only Africa Allah and the B-Team DJs by Plain Man's Dr. Day. Get familiar.
It's the one and only Africa Allah. Yo! It is the one and only Africa Allah, and we are back with another episode of Being Africa Allah now in season 27, and we're kicking it off with everything Caribbean. This is 50 years of soca. So we have 50 years of Bahamas independence. We have 50 years of hip hop. And now we're celebrating 50 years of soca. Before I get into that, I have my man, Tim, from the Soca Vault on the line.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whichever one may apply.
Tim, so give people a little rundown on, you know, who you are, what you do, and why the Soca Vault is important.
Who I am? Wow, I'm many things. Well, let me just give you a quick synopsis on the term the Soca Vault. I never actually planned to be like the Soca Vault or all that stuff, but years ago, somehow I ended up on mailing lists. So, and I never realized it. So, and I would just get all the music. I'm like, oh, hey, this is a good song. And I would just like save it on my computer or whatever. And then one carnival or maybe crop over or something like that, somebody said, oh, can you share all the music with me? I said, sure, let me just upload everything. So I sent the list, a link to a couple of friends, and my friend Keith, he's like, bro, you like the Soca Vault? There's soca everywhere in here. I was like, so that's kind of how the name came up with the term, the name the Soca Vault came up. I said, makes sense, because there's all kind of music, kind of soca music. I also used to, well, occasionally I do photography on the side. I said, I'm based out of New York. I've been to Barbados, Bermuda, well, Trinidad, Virgin Islands. Virgin Islands is a nice place. But yeah, and I just, like I said, I just love soca music. When they say like soca resonates with certain people, I'm like, it resonates with me. I'm like, I just kind of, it resonates with me. I do my best to share it, try to get other people to listen to it as well, because it's like the happy music.
Yeah.
People just like, you hear soca and it's like certain songs, just like, you could be like, oh, all right. And then the song come on, you're like, yo, that's my tune. And start jumping up and dancing and catching the vibes. So what I try to do is with the Soca Vault or whatever, I started just adding friends who are DJs names to a mailing list. And then I was like, I'll just send out music. And they were like, all right, cool. We appreciate it. And then I realized that, I don't know how certain people do it because I couldn't figure it out. But the mailing service, the email that I use would only allow me to add 50 people to a mailing list. So then I had to look for other options anyway. So that 50 people currently has turned into about 600 on the mailing list. And it's like just DJs from all over, DJs from Twitch, people that don't know. They're like I remember one time I sent the link to DJ Guardian in Tampa and he was just like, wow, that's a lot of music. I said, yeah. So, and I can never catch up. I'm always behind. As I was just flipping through the emails, I'm like, they're coming with 2024 Soca already? I'm like,
yeah, man. 2024 Soca old.
I'm like, can y'all wait till like October, please?
No, you know? After August, 2024, after August, it's 2024.
It's annoying. I mean, because we talk about this all the time in a couple of group chats, and it's like, it's September 2023. You literally just had Grenada.
It's just like the seasons for music in America, right? We don't call it 2024 music, but though whatever happens after August is counted towards 2025 Grammys. So it's the same thing with the soca music. Whatever happens after August counts towards the Trinidad carnivals and the carnivals for 2024.
Yes, the gatekeepers of okay. Carnival, quote unquote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole different conversation.
Speaking of gatekeepers,
mm-hmm.
You guys had some amazing things happening in New York City over the Labor Day weekend. You guys had the first ever Caribbean American Awards, or is it what? The Caribbean Music Awards. That's what it was. The Caribbean Music Awards
mm-hmm.
in Brooklyn. Tell us a little bit about that and your take on the effort.
Well, honestly, I didn't even know about it till somebody told me about it. So I'll be fair and say that. But from what I did see, it's been an effort that many, many different groups have tried to put together. I know there was one out of a couple of years ago, Soca Music Awards, that was out of Orlando or something like that. And that kind of didn't pan out. But this one looks like it has promise just because of who they actually have sponsoring it, like Spotify. So that adds some legitimacy to it. And the way like it's actually presented like a real, not like a real fancy show. Like I had one of my friends went to it. She didn't know she was going. So she kind of just went. And her feedback was some people dress the part. Hey, I'm in an award show. Let me dress all bougie and stuff. And some people wore like t-shirt and short pants. Like it's like played a part. So, but from what I was hearing, that if a soca artist won a song, let's say won an award, for example, off the top of my head, DJ Spider and GBM, they won an award. And then you would figure that they would play that particular song that they won the award for, but apparently not. So I don't know. Somebody was telling me that they were playing dancehall for soca awards, and it's like, but it's a soca award. I mean, I guess if they iron out the kinks like that, and they actually take the feedback in and apply it to, if it was like a Grammy, take that same format, which they're trying to do, I think. But if they're more consistent in, all right, cool, we have to play this song, let's go. Like I said, to me, it just kind of like came out of nowhere. Because I, on Instagram, I get all kind of stuff, Uber Soca, this fet, that fet. I didn't see anything pop up on my Instagram per se. So, but like I said, the turnout looked good. Overall, people were happy with it. Side note, my one friend, she lives in Virginia. She's Bayesian. And she says, DJ Spider came on stage and he's just talking like an American. And so, and so I laughed because Friday night I went on a boat ride, Colors Boat Ride, which is a Bayesian boat ride here in New York. And he was one of the DJs. And it was like, it was a pure Bayesian boat ride. He doesn't speak like a Bayesian. That's just how he speaks. I'm like, and I told it, I was like, nah, he doesn't have a Bayesian accent. I'm like, because he not even say not one rasshole, not one cobble, not one cheese on bread, nothing like that. So I'm like, nah, he's just, that's just how he talks. So,
well, but, is he Bayesian? Is he Bayesian U.S. based? Is he first generation or second generation Caribbean?
I don't know. My gut feeling is he was probably born here and his parents are Bayesian. That's right. My gut feeling. Because you know how some people, they're born here. Classic example, my friend, they have three kids. So two of their kids were born in Trinidad and one was born here. The two that born in Trinidad sound like they're from Trinidad. The one that born here, you could tell he's born here. So I guess it's just where you're born and who you're around and stuff like that. So maybe mom never used rasshole around him. I don't know. I'm just I don't know.
When we talk about the Caribbean Awards, the Caribbean mm-hmm. Music Awards, keep in mind it was sponsored by Frequency by Spotify, mm-hmm. Carib Genetics, Carry Genetics, The Music Brings Life, Music TT, Golden Crust, and Zine, as well as Elite Magazine, which is a Caribbean magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people, I think it didn't really get any visibility until 1 week prior when Wyclef did the press runs on various radio platforms and Good Morning America to talk about the Caribbean Music Awards. Now, Wyclef Jean, and we know that Wyclef Jean is Haitian, but he is from the world-renowned group, the Fugees. Mm-hmm. He's a hip-hop artist and he is one of the hip-hop artists that has always, from their inception, really put a lot of their Caribbean-inspired roots into their music. Because their first album was Boof Boff, and that had a lot of Caribbean undertones.
Correct. And it wasn't really till their second album that kind of caught on, so right. to speak.
With that being said, Wyclef, being the face of Caribbean Music Awards, I didn't really expect him to know no soca, to know no bayou, to know no zest. Like, I expected it to be the Rupee, the Kevin Littles, the stuff that American people know, you know?
The commercial stuff.
Right.
But remember, he did sing on a track with Marshall back in 2005.
Right. The people that he's exposed to and he knows. And I think, again, that's why I said the effort. And I said that intentionally because I want people to understand that while we as fans expect a certain thing, putting together these projects are extremely hard. You
oh, yeah.
having the Soca Vault, you understand how hard it is, one, to gather Caribbean music, because artists are putting and producing music, but they have no stream to streamline it so that it can go someplace where people can actually capture it. If I didn't know you, I wouldn't have a lot of small island music. If I didn't know people like Genie and people like Avalanche, and it's a lot of music that I wouldn't have been able to get.
Correct, because it's funny. There's a producer in Antigua, and I'm gonna butcher his name because I always do, even though I look at it. Stimulus or Smith something. Anyway, he's always putting out constantly on his Instagram artists who want radio ready music, link up with me. I will help you get to where you need to get to. So there's producers out there that are willing to help, willing to work with some of these younger artists. But I think also the mindset of the younger artists is like, oh, I have a song out there. Oh, I'm going to be the biggest artist in the world. And all the work that takes to go along with it, maybe they're not up to that. Maybe it's like, oh, I talk to DJ Gel a lot, and we talk about this all the time, that artists need to stream their music, get the music out there to people, and not just put it up on YouTube and call it a day and think it's going to get a ton of attention. It's like you constantly have to work your music. So what I personally do is any younger artist that I have a conversation with, I'd tell them at least three things. I said, number one, develop yourself a mailing list, because no DJ is going to say no to being on an artist mailing list, right? And then I give them the links I use. I'm like, here, this is not gonna cost you anything. It's free. So you can't go wrong with free. I said, number two, if you can't, like, and this is a specific issue with in St. Vincent. A lot of, I don't know if they can or they aren't able to, but PayPal, they don't have access to PayPal in St. Vincent. So now, who was explaining this to me? Casper G and Keith Currency. Right, two Vincentian artists. They were explaining that when they get paid, they need to find an intermediary person. So their auntie or somebody that lives in the States, you send her the money, and then she'll wire it to them. Like we talking, I was about to say FedEx, Western Union, Western Union, MoneyGram.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how they get paid. And I'm like, that's crazy. It is how it is. So a lot of artists, that's why their music isn't on Amazon or Apple or whatever, because they can't get like the revenue. So it's like they have yet to figure out a way to do that. So, and that's why I mentioned to them, hear this at. I said, you could put your music up there. People could download it. You could upload it studio quality, and you could, well, once again, PayPal, but you can actually, that gives you the opportunity to sell your music. You'll get all the royalties from it. And they could also, you can also stream it from there. I don't know if you saw the interview with Mr. Killer just after Uber Soca, but he didn't, I forget who he did the interview with, but basically he touched on the streaming business and how much money artists are losing on that.
Right.
Because I remember, like, back in the day, your album sales were, you know, your record sales were based on how much albums you sold, how many CDs you sold, this, that. Now it's like, oh, how many times you're streaming? Like, oh, so.
And this, like, is the thing that I taught artists before, because everybody was like, oh, streaming, and streaming is great, but you have to figure out another way to take that, because if you're sending traffic, first of all, I don't believe. And sending traffic to billionaires, okay?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Create your own platform. And if you can't create your own platform, find a third party that is going to give you a sizable amount of equity in the product that you're putting out. Make sure that you read the terms of agreement and you completely own that product once you put it up on their platform. Because a lot of the times when you are doing these free products, you don't realize that you're giving away your images, you're giving away your likeness, you're giving away your products, and you're building podcasts and all these other things on these people's platforms, and they own your content. And the only reason you know, and you don't, you only know this after you've gotten a certain amount of followers and you're ready to go big time, but you can't do anything because none of the product that you've done over the course of however long you've been there belongs to you.
Correct. It's the way you explained that is the exact story that my friend Sugary out of Barbados went through, the whole big thing, like same thing. She had a big tune back in, I think it was 2018 or 2019, called Bounce, right? I had just messaged her on Instagram. We just chit-chatting back and forth, talking to her manager. And she was like, oh, well, we're going to be in New York and blah, blah, blah. I said, all right, cool. Well, my friend, Rebel One, right? He producer for many years and straight up honest guy. So I said, well, my friend's a producer. I said, it would be okay if, you know, they swing by. He's like, yeah, bring her. You know, he's like, I'm always looking to work with different artists. So cool. So we come in and we just kind of just talking it up. And he's like, well, what music have you done? So they look it up on YouTube. And the song that they pulled up was Bounce, right? I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. I get banned from singing. But so he as soon as, like, within 30 seconds, he's like, how are you not bigger than what you are? Because that song is a great song. And she goes down the same road. She's like, well, I signed a deal with a publisher. The publisher never paid me my royalties. They put it up on all the streaming services. So basically they squeezed out all the money. And then when it was time for her to actually, like, she actually got the rights back, there was no more money to make because they squeezed it all out. So it's like, and the first thing that I want to say, it might have been Fox Views, right? Because Fox Views is, from what they tell me, is like the devil of publishing. They take up majority of profits. And people are like, no, not Fox Views. No,
so you can find. So Fox Views would be Bad Boy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had to do it.
Well, the funny thing is, I think, and there's nothing like I can confirm or whatever, but basically, it's just a suspicion that, like, I think Problem Child has something to do with Fox Views, because another artist, Hardware from Barbados, he released a rhythm a couple years ago. He's like, just do me a favor. Can you just put it up on your YouTube channel, whatever royalties you get or whatever? And then I said, but it's published by, I said, and I looked at him. I said, you have your own publishing company, but you use Fox Views? He's like, yeah, something Problem Child told me to look into. I was like, oh, okay. So, like I said, it just made me scratch my head. And I'm like, and then as you start to, it's just mere suspicions. Yeah, I don't think it's...
Right. We're going to do some research on that. I'm going to follow up with that one, because I'm curious, because I used to get Fox Views mailing lists before. I don't think I've gotten any in a while.
Side note, and this was actually my own fault, right? When I first started the Soca Vault, because I bought the URL, and then I had the URL forward directly to the Soca Vault. So people just go to SocaVault.com and boom. And then I was good for like a whole 6 months. All of a sudden, I guess Fox News caught wind, and boom, Fox News just put in all kind of complaints and this and that. I'm like, so I was like, so I tried to put up again, and I'm like, nah, that's why I do it the way I do it now. You can't find it. If you know, you know. And that way everything is all hunky-dory, peaceful, happy, and you know, that's it.
A lot of people, I don't know if your secret's safe no more.
Well, it is, because you can't go, if you go to YouTube, you go to Google and you search for the Soca Vault, you can find the URL. It takes you right to my Twitch. And people like it'll be, I'll go in music forums, and they'll be like, oh, yo, anybody got a link to the Soca Vault? The link is dead, because I constantly switch it up.
Right.
You know, I just refresh, just change the link. But people are like, oh, no. And I'm like, I just laugh. And people will get, call me up, message me on the side. Yo, Tim, listen, they're about to flood the vault because somebody posted a link in the chat. I said, all right, no problem. And then the way it's set up is that I'm only allowed so much shared bandwidth a month. And I don't know why. I kind of get why they do it, because they don't want to be bombarded. But anyway, so I forget how, I think it's like 250 gigabytes of shared data. And I used to never have a problem. And then all of a sudden people like, oh, I could download the whole entire thing. Download the whole entire thing. You literally just screwed it up for everybody else for the rest of the month.
Right.
And then you get people, like, I'll get messages, oh, it's not working. And I used to do my best to try and to fight it. And then I'm just, it's like swimming upstream. I was like, you know what? Blame the people who share the link. I was like, there's nothing else I could do.
And I totally understand that. And having been in business for the last 18 years and running a media outlet where we have, where we host audio and video, I can tell you, first of all, anything outside of that 250 then becomes costly. Then you would then have to, subsidate that with payments and people who have to pay you in order to be a part of your mailing list.
Correct.
You would then have to, file all these legal things in order to be able to, promote and service people that need the music in order to promote the Caribbean. It's kind of a double-edged sword because you want to do for your community, but nobody sees the value until it's no longer there.
Correct.
And they don't want to spend the money.
Exactly. In part, like, there's DJs that have come up to me, oh, you should really charge for this. And my stance has always been, number one, it's not my music. So I'm not going to try to make money off of somebody else's work. I'm not that person.
Right.
They're like, but you do a lot of work. I said, I do it for the love of the soca music. That's why I do it. I do it for the love of hopefully not hearing the same 20 songs every fit. That's why I do it, to get the music out there. And maybe, you know, one artist has a breakthrough song and I'm like, yeah, oh, thanks. You send it out to the mail list and people like it and this and that. That in part, that's why I do it. And people are like, you should really charge. I'm like, would you pay? Nah, you're my boy. Exactly. So why are you even coming to me with this nonsense?
What do you, like, wait, hold on. Let me tell you something. Tim, if you have a fet, I gotta pay you. You know why? Because I know what it takes in order to produce a fet.
Oh, of course.
If you have a website, I'm gonna either purchase merchandise or I'm gonna pay the monthly fee. You know why? Because I manage a website. Like, I don't understand how people think that it's, because somebody said to me the other day, I'm working on this project for Bahamas in the Bahamas New Year's Eve. And they said, yeah, we got to get, I was like, yeah, I'm trying to get 500 to 700 people in the Bahamas for New Year's Eve. And they're like, yeah, because my trip has to be free. I said, what? And you're not doing that damn thing. You're fucking mad.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's funny. A friend of mine in Trinidad, he's a party promoter. His name is Laird. And he tell all the time, if you ever hear the drop, stop fighting your soca, stop fighting the artist, that's him. He dropped it in, he dropped it in a group chat and one of the producers just took it and just made a drop. So, but anyway, he's like, you come, like, he's doing a boat ride next month. You come to me. And he went off because somebody asked him for five comps. He looked at him and he said, five comps? Now, he just cussed like anybody else. So he's like, oh, yeah, stinking so-and-so with your five comps. He's like, do I come to your barbershop and ask for a free haircut? No, I pay. Do I go to your bar and ask for a free drink? No, I pay. Do I come to your store and ask for a free jersey? No, I pay. So why should I be expected to give you something for free if you're not doing anything for me? If you get 10 tickets sold and say, oh, XYZ, link me or whatever, fine. I give you one comp because you actually help contribute to the party. But at the end of the day, you're running a business. This is my business. You can't be expected to ask for free stuff all the time. It just doesn't happen. I think, like, this generation, there's like a total disconnect with that. Like, they just, oh, but let me get it for free. There's nothing for free because somebody always has to pay for something. Somebody has to pay for it.
Talking about events, since we in that vein, let's talk about events.
Right.
There has been so much controversy on social media in regards to soca events, people advertising as soca events, and now putting it under they're advertising events and putting it under the guise of a music festival so that they can get away with playing other things other than soca, right?
Correct.
Let's talk about it because you brought it up and then all of a sudden it just flooded my timeline. It was on everything. It was on my Instagram, my TikTok, my Facebook. I said, what this?
I'm telling you. Yeah, because what kind of... It's always happened. Like, the only place I would say that things like that don't happen consistently is probably Trinidad, right? I've never been to a soca fet in Trinidad where I heard anything but soca. Now, here in Papa Bottle, like, four times, different topic, different story, but still always heard soca. When I went to what really kind of flipped the switch, whatever, when I was in Barbados, the first boat ride I went to, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. So I saw one of the DJs that I know, Black Royal Supreme. So the DJ on the boat, the funny thing is, just like a little precursor to the story, we're waiting on the pier. And this kind of, now I'm thinking, anyway, but maybe it was pre-recorded. But anyway, so we're on the pier. We're hearing the boat play. Cool. Then we get on the boat and the same set that they were playing on while we were on the pier, they were playing on the boat. And I'm like, So anyway, so I'm like, maybe it's pre-recorded. I don't know. Anyway, so I see Black Rose Supreme on the boat. I say, yo, what's up, fam? Blah, 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 blah. I say, yo, why this man playing dancehall? And he looked at me. He's like, well, this is not a soca event. This is a boat ride. And I'm like, is this not crop over? Is this not crop over season? Is it not soca time? And I'm like, and you know the meme with like where the guy with all the mathematical equations, like confusing? That was me. I'm like, I just don't get it. I'm like, and he literally put out, he, now, mind you, he wasn't a DJ on the boat. He was a MC. But he put out a 2.5 hour crop over mix. A real good mix too. But I'm like, you saying you're pushing soca music, that is a great soca music that came out of Barbados this year, and you're not be like, well, it's not a soca event. I'm like,
well, then why get on it? Because you're putting your name on it, and you're giving it a seal of approval.
Correct. The saving side note, the saving grace on that boat ride was it was a cooler fit. So I had just got to Barbados like 11 o'clock that night the night before. But anyway, it was 4 a.m. So I had like an hour's sleep. I couldn't. There was no time to pack a cooler, but they were serving. You could get like my drink of choice is rum and club soda. So I was getting rum and club soda for $5 Bajan, which is $2.50 US. And it was a nice, decent sized cup. So I was like, all right. It's not so bad. I'll drink away the pain.
You should not have to endure that.
Oh, it's not like, true.
I have a client. Well, they weren't my client when they started this process. So let me explain this because I had to fix it. Mm-hmm. But they were throwing quote unquote fets, and they was playing everything but soca, and they calling it fet. And then it was like, oh, well, fet means party in French. I'm like, I don't care what it means in French.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody associates a fete with soca music.
Right. And so I had to explain, if you're going to do that, you need to call it a beach festival or a beach party, but don't call it a fete. And if you're going to call it a fete, then you need to get people that know music.
Correct. Because if you go to a dance hall, like you go into a reggae party, dance hall party, hip-hop party, soca fete. I've never heard anybody say, I'm going to a soca party. Well, some people, but usually it's like, oh, what fete you going to? All right, cool. You know, this one, that one. You know, but also just to touch on, just to get back on the topic, Tipsy, right? Which is, it's a big party, a big music festival in Barbados. It's a Bajan promoter. They also do one in Miami. Last year in Miami, they had, Burna Boy and Marshall or whatever, and they had tickets for like $200 because apparently they didn't realize how much Burna Boy cost. But anyway, so Tipsy started a whole discussion on Twitter with artists saying it's soca time. Why do soca people have to be put on the back burner when year round you play the same music all the time? And for these 2 or 3 months is when soca artists come out, and that's when they play their music. They, you know, they produce their music, and that's their time. Why do they have to fight to get their spot for crop over season? And because Tipsy played everything, dancehall, reggae. I think they even played hip hop or whatever. But it was like, oh, and that's when the term it's a music festival. So why not do this other times? And I know Puffy, he does an event called Hyped. I think it's Hyped. Anyway, I don't go. But it's same thing. He's like, well, I'm not a soca DJ. I play everything. So that's what my event, you know, I do it. It's not a soca party. I play everything or whatever. Cool. Well,
I give that to him because the only reason that Puffy is associated with Sokka is because he's from Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And they would assume that that's what he's going to play. And that was one of the things that he used when he did the DMC contest. However, correct, he is a turntablist, and turntablism needs hip-hop and beats and house and thing to do. So I didn't expect, like, I wouldn't go to a Puffy event because I don't expect him to play that, because I know that his style of music, the way he mixes, is not made for that.
Correct.
But
correct,
again, if you don't know music and you don't understand the DJ, you don't understand DJs and DJing, then you wouldn't understand the difference. Same thing with Ryan. Ryan is a playlist. He's a jukebox.
Yeah, he is a playlist moderator. That's the term I came up with around Trinidad Carnival. It's like, because people will play it. That's what the story in Trinidad was. All these DJs kept playing the same music. It's like, we got brand new music. Why you keep playing this pop a bottle 27 times? Like, mm-hmm, my friend Laird, same thing. He went to a party. He went to a fete. He's like, six or eight times they played pop a bottle. He's like, how?
That went from 17 years ago?
Yes. That they still play today. And it's like, and every time they play it, I take a voice note and I send it to him. And then he cusses me. But it's like, how do you keep wanting to play the same song? Like, to me, it doesn't resonate. I'm like, yo, the last DJ just played this. You know they're going to play it. So why are you playing it again? People like the song. Yeah, but you hear the song once or twice, cool. It's like when the song first comes out, you're like, yo, this song is bad. I'm playing it straight true. Repeat. Then after like five times, like, all right, cool, next song, next. So it's like, come on, you had to ease up on the song. Like, literally this weekend, I went to one fit, Itchy Baba Kula fit. Right, they played all.
He does a great job.
He does, but he needs to talk to his DJs because they literally played the same playlist. It was Fabulous, 10 Speed, Freeze, Sounds for Life, and somebody earlier because I got there a little late. But they literally played Hard Fet four times, Welcome Home four times, and I'm like, every DJ had to play this song. One DJ, he played a little horning segment. Next DJ, come on, play the same horning segment. I'm like, you're not paying attention? Like, so, and my the last DJ was Freeze. And Freeze, I know, knows his classic stuff. Because if you've been to an Itchy Baba, an event, the crowd is mixed, but there's a lot of older people in there. So they appreciate the older vibes. So, I mean, he was literally, as I say, spoon feeding everybody. Like, people were loving it. Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah, Super Blue, cool. Yeah, old school Marshall from like 2000. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then he's like, and then he just plays Hard Fed. I'm like, dog,
you're
why?
Like, God, it gone.
Like, why? I was like, we ain't hear this enough. We ain't, because when I was in Bermuda, it was Hard Fed then Welcome Home. In Barbados, it was Welcome Home then Hard Fed. So it's like, I remember I was standing in a fet in Bermuda. I was standing next to Mastermind, and Welcome Home comes on, and I pull out all the money in my pocket. I said, who want to make a bet that hard fet is up next? Ain't nobody want to take my bet. I would have been rich, because he's like, dog. I said, bro, yo, they are very predictable. And the funny thing with Bermuda is literally the first carnival to kick off the summer. Now, the kickback with Bermuda is, like, just talking to Dante, it's pretty much just as expensive as the Bahamas, if not more, according to him. Because he started talking about milk prices. I'm like, he's like, $9 for milk. I'm like, all right, you got that one. So it was like, that's the opportunity that those DJs could take and play some of the new music that's coming out. Because at that time,
you get them familiar with what's coming up for the rest of the season.
Exactly. So now, because you have a lot of people in Bermuda that will go to Barbados, that will go to Grenada. So at that time, all this music is coming out. So mind you, you could, and this is what I do, whenever a local carnival starts, so say St. Vincent, Grenada, whatever, I listen to local radio, right? Not that they play everything, but just want to see. Because you know how it's like sometimes you get a song, you're like, eh, I don't like the song. And then you hear a mix and you're like, oh, wait, what was I thinking? And then.
Bones.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I do. And I got that from DJ Gel because he's like, that's what I do. I was like, that's not a bad idea. Just to see.
That's what we do in hip hop. You know, when you're traveling and you're going to these different cities on tour as the road DJ or as the artist, it's your duty to listen to the radio and hear to listen to the radios and go out to the clubs and hear what the other people are playing so that mm-hmm. you have an understanding of what the crowd likes.
Exactly.
You can't go in there cold. Then to top it off, you're booking the same type of DJs. Like every DJ is Trinidadian. Every DJ, mm-hmm. like there's nobody. You might have one or two DJs that are from different countries, but for the most part, the majority of the DJs are either Trinidadian or
New York.
PI.
Oh,
and
they're all
from New York.
Yeah,
they're definitely all from New York.
Of course.
You know, You might have a handful like Dream Team, Wasi and Vibes and Tony, but Tony is a part of Dream Team now. So you get a handful of people and you're not even getting everybody that represents the different vibes from these places. I have yet to find a Haitian DJ playing at any of these.
That is true. And I want to say the only Compa song that they play, and I don't even know the name of it, I think it's got like a. I know that the hook has a horse in it.
Okay.
It's like I don't know. Like I work with one of my coworkers Haitian, and I'm like, yeah. The only Compa song I know is the one with the horse, and he's looking at me like, what are you talking about? So he knows the name of the song. He's like, that song. I was like, no, but look, the remix has a horse in it. He's like,
you sound like the guy on TikTok that'd be like, hey, Haitian Papi, what's this song?
Exactly. I was like, I'm like, bro, I don't know the name of the song. I was like, all I know is when they say, DJs say, oh, we're doing a Compa segment, they play that one song and done. That's all I know. That's all I know. But yeah, just going back to the promoter thing, like Sunday, I was on a small island boat ride. The promoter's name was Limers Inc., in which he changed the name of the company several times. Anyway, so it's strictly small island. It's camo, so I don't have any camo, so I was wearing a baseball jersey. I'm on the boat, and the DJ is playing. Avi was on the boat as well, and then a whole bunch of artists, Asa Banton, Triple K, shucks, Signal Band. I think it was like six or seven artists on the boat. So they played, you know, they saw some, you know, soca that people know, and then they went into small islands anyway. So long story short, after everybody performs, we're on the way back. The DJ, he's asking everybody, he's like, we have 20 minutes on the boat. He's like, do you want to hear soca or do you want to hear dancehall? And majority of people on the boat said soca, right? Boom. Cool. We end with soca. All of a sudden, the promoter come in. He's like, no, I want you to play 5 minutes of dancehall. But do people want soca? So this is what he said. He's like, it's not me. He says, like, it's the promoter. And the promoter pays me. So, and I'm saying that thing, and I'm like, but the patrons want to hear soca. They don't want to hear no dancehall. And we pay the promoter, because without the patrons, there's no promoter. Point blank, period. So
his uncle in the background say, oh, no, I want to hear some dancehall. And so
yeah.
Y'all get to play.
Exactly. And he, it was what, like, that drift song that I can't stand. Well, all they do is me, 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 me. Yeah. I'm like, what is, the first time I heard that was in Bermuda. I was like, what are you talking about? That's not any words. That just sounds. And then a Taliban song and some other stuff.
They did a soca remix to Taliban though. And usually when I play, if I'm going to play that because they want to hear reggae, like, okay. So if I'm going to play, if people want to hear reggae, right.
Mm-hmm.
Or they want me to play reggae, I would play the reggae soca, you know, with artists on it, like a DeMarco or a, like, I love Conscience. Conscience is one of my favorite reggae soca artists, okay? I think Conscience should just become a soca artist because he's so nice. Look.
Send an email.
I love Krista Martin on soca. Beanie, Maya, like all of them. So if I'm going to play reggae, I would play reggae-ish, reggae adjacent soca.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still want to keep the vibes. I come for a soca party.
Exactly.
I can give you some Jamaican people, but that ain't what we're doing today.
Right.
There's 100 dance halls and 100 bachman parties you could go to. Today is not your day, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Do your research. Like somebody was telling me yesterday that they went to, who was it? Bifor Omega did a music festival for Labor Day. And the person who went complaining is like, why is this man playing hip hop? And it was like, we looked at, like, did you read a flyer? It says hip hop, soca, Afrobeats, hip hop right there. I was like, well, he didn't lie. He played hip hop, but you looking for an old soca party, you ain't do your homework. And honestly, that's what most of this is about. Do your homework. And that's when rate the fit. What is the promoter promising versus what you got? The DJ play the same songs as a previous DJ? Because some of these playlists, it becomes so predictable. It's like, oh yeah, you're gonna play straight off the jumbo jet, and that's gonna lead all the way into people, to family, and it's like,
I could tell you, and it could be 17 different DJs on there, and I could tell you once I hear one song, I know what next. Because mm-hmm. everybody, I feel like everybody have the same formula. Nobody is sitting there saying, okay, now with all of these stems and stuff, there's so many different ways for you to be creative. If you want to play hip hop, you could put in the stems and do something different, do a remix. Like, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be that. We can still keep the vibes. But everybody has this predictable, they have this thing where you just know what's next. From the Bahamas to freaking, from the Bahamas to California.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's the same thing. And then what makes it even worse is it's the same DJs. So
yes.
Because they're constantly getting booked, they think that they're the pinnacle of what this culture is supposed to represent. And it's not true. There are
definitely
a lot
not.
Of people that are definitely better. I remember I had a conversation with Spice, and he was like, we picked the creme de la creme. I said, oh, you can't be picking the creme de la creme.
Nah. That's, listen, that's...
That's a little different story.
Listen, trust me. I've heard my fair share of Spice stories. So it's crazy. Like my thing is Team Soca. Team Soca, I remember when Team Soca started, like I was getting flyers on my car. I was like, what's this Team Soca thing or whatever? So one day I just checked in and you know, that's how I found out. That's how I got in touch with Mastermind, because Mastermind used to do a morning show from 7 to 10. So I was like, all right, cool. It was good vibes. And that's how, you know, got through it with Team Soca. But Team Soca at the time was very, very innovative in terms of you have a live DJ and you had a chat room, right? And people like, and to this day, like a lot of these Soca people that I know are from through Team Soca, right? And then they kind of it kind of got like sketchy to say it the best, because there's a DJ in DC, DJ Bimshire, right? DJ Bimshire for years had Friday from 12 to 3. That was his spot, right? And he always did his show, and he'd always relate with people, and he was just like, he would shout everybody out, like, good vibes all the time. And so he would be like, he would just like, yo, I got new music, let me just play new music and see if you like it or not, or whatever, which is a good thing to do. Now, Freeze had 12 to 3 Monday to Thursday. He always wanted that 12 o'clock spot on Friday, could never get it. So all of a sudden, like, they make somebody a VP, and now the VP is like, oh, well, you know what, we're going to give your spot to Freeze, and then you're going to get 3 to 6. And so Bimshaw is like, bro, I saw the writing on the wall when they come up with this VP nonsense. And then you just start seeing different things start happening. It's like, you know what? I can't actively support this. I'm like, because y'all want to be like, oh, you're a Team Soca DJ, but yet the creme de la creme. Now you ask me if you want a DJ on a party or on a boat ride to flip a boat, you put Mastermind on the boat. Massimo, I mean, he just like, when I talk about music presentation, because I firmly believe a majority of DJs don't know how to present music. He just knows how to do it. And in my opinion, he's probably one of the best DJs that everybody overlooks in Bermuda.
Massimon is definitely a really great at presentation. I remember seeing them in the Bahamas, and I was like, oh, wow.
Exactly. So, and it was only at that point when I started like listening to his morning show that I realized he sang Ramen Roti. So I was like, bro, that's you? I started laughing. And then I saw the video, and I'm like, that was it. The man walking around in a dhoti and all kind of thing. So he would be one of the ones that I would just constantly be like, yo, why don't they book him? Like in Bermuda, classic example, right? Just this past carnival, it poured on and off, very un-Bermuda weather. So we were kind of like soaked. So by the time we were done with the road, they're like, oh, take a little lunch break and then we're going to go over here. I was like, I'm done. I was like, I'm drenched. Anyway, so we were talking to one of the bands, right? Basically, what Bermuda has been downsized so much that they now have, it's just two bands on the road. And for the quote unquote sake of saving money, they consolidate everything to one band. So to one truck. So, and the one band always brings Puffy, and Puffy always plays Dance Hall on the Road. And it's like,
Dance Hall on the Road?
Dance Hall on the Road. Yeah. That's only
hot mess.
Yeah, hot mess. So I was like, nah. So we were talking to one of the people, one of the bands, and we're like, and one person was saying, and like, mind you, this is, and I think Dante was sitting down too. We were just talking, like, and he's just random people. We don't know each other from a hole in the wall. One person's like, yo, y'all got to get Rigo Suave off the truck. He just be, nah. He just doesn't, we just tired of hearing him. And then somebody's like, yeah, y'all need to put Massimon on a truck. And the dude was like, I don't like Massimon. That's why he's not on a truck. Bro, it's not up to you. It's what the people want. But I mean, I understand in the aspect of trying to, you have your favorites. But if you want people to come and people to pay for your service, put what the people are asking for.
Well, sometimes, and I'm not to say that the promoter was right or wrong, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's about diversifying your brand. Now, because I can tell you, somebody wants XYZ person, and that's not within our budget, or that doesn't fit the brand identity, they're not going to be on the truck. There are DJs that are hella great. But they don't meet the criteria or standards that a particular brand wants to be associated with, right?
I got you.
That's fine. And again, my job is actually to build brands and curate talent that matches up with brands. So, and when I say brands, I'm talking about destination events and cultural activities, mm-hmm. right? So that's why I said to be fair, because they may have said it brash like that, but it may be a reason behind that. Now, if it's just a personal reason, like I don't like them and that's not why they're here, then hey, that's them, they're an asshole. But if it has to do with brand identity, because there's certain DJs that wouldn't play at an event, they wouldn't play at an event for me because I cater to a particular demographic and a particular class.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm not gonna bring homeboy from down the block, even though homeboy from down the block he can rock, but the type of people that homeboy from down the block bring is not the type of people that the people in my party are gonna feel comfortable around.
Correct. No, I totally get. But the funny thing with Massimon Bermuda is like everybody in Bermuda loves Massimon. Everybody.
Well, then like, that should, again, should have done their homework. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, come on, man. It's like, because he gets booked every year for a fete called Weta, right? And I don't know, maybe you saw a couple of years ago, but he was at Weta, and the man with the fire, the water hose literally wet down his laptop. Oh, gosh. And so he was like, so obviously he had to get a new laptop. And so then they figured out a way how to DJ using YouTube and iPhones. So, but yeah, people, like I said, people like him in Bermuda. And like I said, it's just funny. These promoters are just like, I don't know. Not to say like I fight down the promoters, but a lot of times, you know, it's like, do your homework, you know.
And here's a plug, and it's not shameless. I have no shame. Mm-hmm. If you're a promoter and you're looking for someone to curate your experience and make sure that you deliver exactly what it is that you promised the people, hey, you have businesses like Playmaster Day and the agency that can assist you in making sure that you're delivering on your promise and you're creating an experience that will last a lifetime and ensure that people will tell people and more people will attend your parties. That's all it is.
Yeah.
However, if you're trying to do it all by yourself and you're trying to micromanage it, you're going to miss things because you're so focused on the logistics of your project that mm-hmm. you're not sitting down listening to what's happening. Like I would hire Tim in a heartbeat. It would probably be for a smaller event so that we could build his name in somewhere else before we put him into a position of a position where he's in front of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people. But a small
cussing party. Everybody. Oh, he has to come out. How's it going? Y'all dance. Y'all like this tune? Go away. I like this tune.
But it's also about, you know, and one of my clients had this qualm. They were like, well, these people didn't do anything for us. I was like, yeah, but the other thing is, you know, associating your name with a product that people are familiar with. Even if it's like you, I have to see it be successful. It's what they call it. Proof of concept. Mm-hmm. I have to see something be successful before I say, okay, yeah, I'm going to spend my money and go to this city.
Correct.
Right? I have to hear people tell me, man, I had a good time with such and such play. Oh gosh, we should hire him for something. How many times have I put people, as early warm DJs, and within 5 to 6 months later, they're headlining shows. Mm-hmm. Because you know that this person has the ability to carry a crowd, but the general crowd is not. Then they come there and they see this face they never seen before. They're gonna be like, "What this is?" Mm-hmm. So you have to slowly bring it onto them. And the other part is you as the DJ. If you're the new guy on the block, you need to be promoting, talking about the thing, because you should know that people—they're not going to hire you again if you're not bringing people in the door.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how well you play, if people are not coming in the door to see you, you're expendable.
Yes, and that brings on another topic, which is like they want to see how much followers you have. It's almost like hype over talent. Because I've had this conversation with my boy DJ Warlock up in Boston, and I'm like, bro, why don't you get booked for places? He's like, they like the hype over talent. They want to see somebody with 2 million followers who could play "Mary Had a Little Lamb" versus me who could juggle a hell of a lot of tunes, you know, a Bashman segment, all kind of thing. And you know, I know my music. I'm like, and it's kind of like I had the conversation with him, and I'm like, yeah. Now I see where you're coming from.
Because just be consistent online. Like, because there's two things. All right. If I can Google your name and mad stuff come up, like I can Google your name and mad stuff come up, and I Google your name and I put you on a party and my name come up along with your stuff, mm-hmm. you're more valuable than somebody that has 2 million followers. And when they post, only 20 people 20 people respond.
Yeah, I know. It's what I say. Content is king.
Right.
You have to be consistent in what you do. Because
I love the Soca Vault. This is my plug for you. I love the Soca Vault. Listen, I at one point I was able to listen to it while you were live.
Uh huh.
And then I got busy. But I go back and I listen to it. I share it with every. If I listen to it, I share it.
Because the funny thing is, since I started, when I first started doing this, this all started with when everything was shut down. People were bored. DJs were streaming on Instagram. And I remember, I'd be at work, and I'm like, oh, so-and-so is streaming. And then, I had to kind of, I had to laugh to myself, because you had DJs on Instagram, big name DJs, begging for a dollar. Like, yo, I need some money. But wait, you're a international DJ. You traveled all over the place. You telling me you have no money? And this whole...
Because nobody thought about diversifying their brand. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody thinks about touring and being booked, but nobody thinks about how they turn that tour money into merchandise, how they turn that tour money into streaming and subscriptions. They don't think about, every time they perform out of the country, they should be recording their sets and putting them up so that people can hear what they played at this particular party, so that the next promoter wherever in the world can book them. The one thing that I think, and I think you talked about it on Twitter once, the UK DJs, are freaking amazing.
Yes,
but they
yes.
have no brand identity. And the only time you're going to know them is if you end up and see them in Trinidad, or if you see them in Trinidad, Grenada, or London. Other than that, you're not going to know nothing about them.
No, it's true. It's true. Because even through Twitch, Style Supreme, he's based in the UK. I think he's Vincentian descent, but I never heard of him before coming across him on Twitch. And like I said, just full of vibes, full of energy. But you hit it right on the head. It's like you want to be, you have to kind of build a recognition. And here's a plug for my boy Digga D. Right, Digga D is one of the most well-rounded soca DJs out of the UK. Very, very, very thorough in his music research. Every year he puts out mini mix series from each island. So you get Virgin Islands, Antigua. Barbados, and then he puts out a mix altogether called Island Splash, right? Where it's 2.5 hour mix combined. Because on a side note, when you put together, when you try to squeeze 6 months worth of music into a 2 hour mix, it's very difficult. You're going to miss songs. But he was telling me that he got a new job. So now he doesn't he's catching up. I'm way behind. So he's like, I got to try and get mixes done. He's like, even if I don't want to do the mix, I'm tired. I got to get it done just so his followers can keep up with him, because that's what they look forward to. So I think for DJ wise, if you stream online is one thing, right? You record your sets. That's cool. Some people will go back and listen to it. Some people won't. But if you consistently come up with a mixed series, like me per se, and I'm guilty, because I didn't I meant to do a Grenada mix, and I just, between coming home from Barbados and then that week was my birthday, it was just I had no time to do the mix. So that's my fault. But if you're consistent in the mix series that you want to come out with, like I do, my plan is to do a Bermuda mix, right? Because they still call it, This is how funny they are. They call it Carnival in Bermuda because they can't call the Bermuda Carnival, because the last people who ran the carnival own that name. So instead of them just working out the details, they're like, no, we're just taking everything and we're going to do our own thing. All right, cool.
No, again, when you work with these people, you find out how much ego run thing and not business.
Oh, of course. Oh, of course. Just on a side note, I know the person who ran Bermuda Carnival before that was the general, Jason Sugdeo. Very mild-mannered person, easygoing, got things done. And it just shows the leadership between him and what there is now. He used to have a Friday night fete. There was no Friday night fete. He used to be able to get sponsorships, artists to come in with ease. He would get, venues, no problem. But this year was like, it was almost like it was a downscaled version of that. So Carnival Friday, I don't even think there was a fete, which is sad. So, and people noticed the difference, you know, like all the fetes that they had were the same fetes last year. They just renamed them. They said, oh.
So this brings us to a close, but this also speaks to what you said in regards to rating the fete, rating the experience,
yes,
rating the destination. Now,
yes,
I've been sitting here trying to figure out how I can make this happen, because one of the things, again, you know, a party might happen this year and they might rename it next year. Mm-hmm. So we could rate a fete that we attended and be like, and then they rename it and it's something else, and then next year it's the same thing. How do we get around that one? And how do you, if you already spent your money and you're already disappointed, does it matter? Because this is not a consistent product.
Hmm.
The destination is a consistent product, but mm-hmm. the events surrounding the destination aren't necessarily consistent, because not that many promoters think like that. Like, let's have a theme event. Like, I have a party called All Day Fete.
Mm-hmm.
It starts from 12 noon to 12 midnight.
All Day Fete.
Right. And that's always Carnival Friday in the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
The point is that once I say Carnival Friday, I don't care when Carnival is. You know that at the Friday of the Carnival at 11 a.m., we have a party.
That's it.
It's something consistent, but people don't do that. They be like, oh, I'm going to do a thing. I'm going to try a thing, and then it don't work. And they be like, oh, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, because it's just like the business mindset, like, of some people is not there. Like, when you try something brand new, right, and it doesn't work, don't give up. I'm like, because if you try two or three times and it's not working out, all right, maybe. But you have to take that first opportunity. You have to look at what worked and what didn't work, and build around what did work. Like, I remember, I went to a fete. They only did it one time, and the things that they did wrong was the venue that they rented. They made it a wet fete because they had no choice. The place that they rented kind of was like, the term I'll use, a bootleg venue, because it's like, you know, I think there was an abandoned bus in the backyard or whatever. Anyway, you know, no one in Brooklyn venues.
Right, right.
Somebody's, you know, parking lot. Anyway, so the place.
It's like the back of the crack house.
Correct. Exactly. Well, listen, there have been some venues that people use where they were like, oh, there were needles on the floor. Like, yo, I'm good. Thank you. I'm going to request my refund because I don't want to party on crack, on needles. Anyway, but it was a day fete, which I personally love day fetes because nighttime I want to sleep. So
grown-ups party in the day. I want you to know that.
And of course.
That's actually the tagline to my party, grown-ups party.
people, these young people don't understand. I'm like, yo, you want to lime during the day? Like I was joking around with Jill yesterday. I said, bro, daytime drinking is the best time to drink. I say, you don't get any little kiddies. You don't get any problems. You get people that just enjoy a drink. You go, you get a nice little ambiance, and that's it. And by the time you're done, if you want to do something else, you still have the rest of the day. If you want to go home and relax, you could do that too. Put your feet up and relax. I said, you do it at nighttime. You stay till they kick you out. And then you're like, and then there's all these other drunk people. And then it's like, you know, he's like, yeah, you're right. But yeah, so back to the story, they rented the venue, and I guess unbeknownst to them, during the daytime, that venue is like an oven. Like, the sun just beats down on it. There was no shade, no nothing. There was no forgiveness. It was just bad. And like I said, I don't know if they did their research about the venue or it's what they could afford. But like I said, what they did was, and I liked it. The promoter, everybody that came in, they said, thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Thank you for supporting, which is always a nice touch. And then they had like a little VIP section. They're like, all right, well, VIP, you can get, because I guess they were on a budget. Like, all right, VIP, for argument's sake, I think it was like $50. So you got a cup, you got a whistle, stuff like that. So they did their best to try to get people involved. And they gave you, I think it was like 3 drinks with that. And then after that, you had to, you know, buy drinks. No problem. They had artists come in to MC. They had T-shirts made up. I mean, they legitimately put a lot of effort into it. You can see that. But the party was a bust. People started to come in like later. Like I remember, I think it was One Gale Army or Miss Steph or Miss Trini, whoever she was at that time, pick a name. She, like her whole set, she played like there was nobody there, you know, but she just played the set. So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. But after all that whole event, they just never did anything back. And I'm like,
It's hard because I've had a couple events that got rained out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, hurricane rain, you know, uh-huh. Especially when you're doing events in the Caribbean, you can't really, the weather is whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You book a beach and then the rain comes, so nobody coming outside. You book an indoor venue and then you don't have no air condition and people won't be outside and thing. Then I had an event. We were supposed to have a barge and then the client backed out, but they backed out 24 hours before the event. So we had to find a new location. The location that we had ended up being on a rooftop. And when you talked about the scorching hot, sure, I know.
Rooftop in the middle of the Caribbean during the day. Yeah, right. Nice and cool. Nice and breezy.
Yeah, so there's all different types of things, and then especially if you're printing up shirts and cups and stuff like that, and then you don't get the crowd that you want, you could possibly go broke, especially if you're the only person investing.
True.
Then you have to make sure that you pay the DJs, and the DJs don't care, you know, because like you say, Steph play,
mm-hmm.
and I guarantee you, she play her whole set. She want her whole set money.
Oh yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I don't remember who the DJs after that were. But like I said, she stuck out because I remember I was there and I'm like, all right, there's like, you know, there's nobody here, but it's blazing hot. I'm like, somebody didn't, they could have just maybe bought one of those colorful things that people hang on the fence that nobody actually knows what the name of is.
I know and, what you mean.
Yeah. So.
The core that you put the little sheets and put across the thing so it could give you some shade.
Yeah, yeah. They could have put something up like that. Like I said, I really wish, like if they did another event, I would definitely go back and support, because just on the core basis of them acknowledging everybody and saying, thank you for coming, we appreciate it.
That's right.
And that's what I think is missing with a lot of these promoters, like, because that's what, like today on Twitter, I put that because I'm going to Miami for Carnival, and I'm like, and honestly, I don't know any, the only two events I know of that I'm going to is Army Fet, which is Standman and Small Island Massive. That's in Fort Lauderdale. And then Citrus, which is on the Friday, and that's in, I think that's a day fit. So I think that.
You're coming with me to Tipsy to celebrate my wedding, and Tipsy. You're coming to Happy Place, which is on Thursday.
That's a music festival.
I don't care.
Music festival.
It was supposed to be Rise Me Shine, and then I went to go buy the tickets, and it wasn't there.
Yeah, right.
And I was surprising my friend because I didn't tell her. And I called her. I was like, what going on? And she said, oh, no, we ended up parted. We're not doing that. We ended up partnering with the people and we're doing the music fest. I said, but I already invited everybody to celebrate my wedding. She said, wedding?
Exactly. Wedding?
Yes, it's an all-white party. Instead of me spending my money for
let people spend their own money and we come to party.
You want party? You want to celebrate with me? Come to party.
Yeah.
Buy a bottle. Freaking yeah. I said, but the thing is, your thing twice, the first one. Mm-hmm. I said, if they won't come, they won't come. But I had to call because I was like, what happened? You know, people start calling me, hey, I can't find the ticket. It ain't there. I'm like, what? Tim, it has been a pleasure having a conversation with you. Yeah. I could talk about music and events and soca for
all night. I know. It's
so
dinner time.
I am going to invite you to come back and converse with us, hang out with us. We're going to see you in Miami. Hopefully we link up, we catch up. Like I said,
definitely.
Place, tipsy. I know it's a music festival, but hey, wear your white and come celebrate with me.
Dodging the music festival. It's like,
you're going, No. It's going to be different. You're going to be with me. It's a different thing. I tell you, face card, baby.
Listen, because you're going to see, like, they would play Soken, and the second you hear dance, I'm like, I'm going.
Don't worry. You're going to be so drunk, it ain't even going to matter.
No. I go to Miami, I don't drink like that because you drive it everywhere? Nah.
No, we're going to make sure you get where you're going.
Nah. Listen, that drive from, because I stay in Fort Lauderdale. So yeah, that drive.
That's where you stay in.
Yeah, that drive from, and
from
honestly.
From the beach to Fort Lauderdale in an easy.
Nah. Like, just driving to Miami from Fort Lauderdale and like, just like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon ain't easy. I'm like, I don't want to do it, but it is what it is. That's why I'm like, if I can find any good fit in Fort Lauderdale, I staying up there.
We can work out the logistics. By the next time we get on the air, we're gonna have a general agreement as to which fets we're going to, which fets we suggest people to participate in, mm-hmm. and why, right?
Yeah, side note, I'm so happy that Juve is coming back to Fort Lauderdale, to Broward County. That venue is, I mean, it's smaller, but it's so much more vibes. Than,
I actually like the other one, you know.
Well, this is why I like Broward, because after last year in Miami, just because I took the shuttle down, just getting back, the logistics of that were horrible. Because
I think that was actually one of the main complaints, which is why they went back. But we'll find out, because we're going to have a conversation with the One Carnival committee coming up. So you guys stay tuned for that. Again,
yes,
this definitely. Has been episode 1 of season 27. And I kicked it off with the Soca Vault. Let everybody know how they can find you. Please do tell them about Solo and Doubles.
Oh, yes. All right. So you could link up with me, because I don't like to say the word follow, because just link up on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, X, Twitter, at the Soca Vault. Also on Twitch, the Soca Vault. You can just go directly to www.thesocavault.com, and that will bring you straight to the Twitch. I do a morning show. I try to be consistent with 11 o'clock start. I'm getting better. But usually Monday to Friday, solo and a doubles morning show. It's banter, it's kicks, it's shenanigans. Whether it's 5 people there or 30 people or 500 people, it's always going to be the same vibes. Everybody feeds off each other's energy, and it's a great time. It's jokes, especially the dad jokes. Also, we do Ray Trains on Weebly Soca Saturdays every other Saturday. So the next one scheduled is September 16th, then the 30th. I believe we're back on schedule. Summertime was rough. So there's that, and that's about it. And Soca is happiness. Soca is joy. That's it.
You heard it here. Soca is joy. Go on.
It's okay to speak your mind, to be different, because I feel a lot of people they say, oh, I agree with you. So why don't you say something too? Oh, well, I didn't know everybody else was going to agree with me. I was like, all right, well, whatever. So anyway, but yeah, speak your mind. Let the people know what you want to hear. Tell the DJs, like I tell the people in the when they come to the stream. I said, tell all your favorite DJs to play the song. I was like, you don't have to tell me, because I play in it already. So they all laugh. But yes, that is it. And this has been fun. This has been a pleasure, because we could probably go for like another 2 hours of just chit-chatting.
Of course.
But,
and you said something very important. Tell your favorite DJs to play the tunes. Hey, you, we want more soca.
Right. Listen. Tell them play. What's the song? Oh, gosh. Hold on. It's a song I asked you for, and I don't remember the name of the song. Oh, gosh. I fired myself.
Digging in the
Boongie? Digging in the Boongie, yes. What's the other one? The Vaseline song.
Oh, the pepper. Who put the pepper in the Vaseline?
Yeah. Yes, I get listen, I because that whole, I still got to go through that folder. But yeah, those songs, I put them on a laptop today. Tomorrow, I'm playing them tunes. Because you know people like them stupid tunes too. They're like, what is this? Yeah, stop digging in your boogie. What's a boogie? Don't worry. Don't dig in it. You're good.
Pretty. I don't know if it was Pretty. One of them people. They heard it. And from they heard it, the song went viral. That song been out for decades.
Yes. Donkey years.
And when they heard it, I mean, it was like, where all these streams come from?
Mm-hmm.
And again, they wasn't capitalizing off their streams. So all of these streams was happening and they had no way to collect any funds because they didn't do their publishing. But we'll talk about that the next time we talk.
Yes, so definitely.
In the interim, I want to thank you for coming out.
It's been a pleasure.
Vault. Y'all make sure y'all check out the Soca Vault. When I tell you it's vibes on top of vibes, and y'all know if I promote, if I co-sign somebody, it have to be good.
Appreciate right? that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Until next time, I'll check y'all out. This has been Being Africa Out Loud right here on Discover Music Channel, brought to you by Playmass.today.